Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. One of my comrades in arms in that war is my colleague at the Center for Security Policy, our Vice President for Research and Analysis, Claire Lopez. Claire brings an extraordinary array of skill sets to the job, including some 20 years as a Central Intelligence Agency clandestine services officer. She is a woman who has studied deeply the business of Middle East affairs and what it means for our national security, and so is a go-to person, of course, for us and others to talk to about the weekend's activities and the trip still underway, being mounted by President Trump in the Middle East and beyond. Claire Lopez, good to have you back. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Thank you, Frank. I'm happy to be with you.
Well, the first leg of the trip, of course, was Saudi Arabia, Claire, and a major speech was made by the president yesterday there. I guess we're just calling it the speech from now on. Give us your read on both what the president said, its implications, and what is being made of it by most especially those to whom he was speaking in the Muslim world.
Well, for those of us like you, Frank, and like me, certainly, who would like to see this president take on Islam and jihad and Sharia in a more forthright and direct way, this was not that speech. This was not that trip. Instead, President Trump yesterday was in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh, before the collected heads of some 50 heads of Sunni states, to deliver a speech that I think was more about recalibrating the United States' role on the international stage. He was essentially announcing the USA is back. We are back in a leadership position, and in particular recalibrating the relationship between the United States and Sunni Islam. A recalibration, especially, I would say, of the June 2009 speech by former President Barack Obama. This time, President Trump was saying to these collected Sunni leaders, 50 out of some 57 in the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, saying, you guys are in trouble. The price of oil has collapsed. The Islamic State, whose ideology at a minimum you nurtured within your collective whole, and more importantly, most importantly of all, perhaps, your arch nemesis, the crazy Persian Shiites that rule Tehran, are encircling the Arabian Peninsula with proxy regimes and developing nuclear weapons. Now, if you want us, the United States, to help out with any of that, it's in our interest to do so. But there's going to be a quid pro quo. This was a president who had faced down the mob multiple times to build casinos and other facilities in New Jersey, New York, and elsewhere. And he's saying, essentially, to the collected mob leaders of the Sunni world, I've done this before. I've been there before. And we're going to deal, and you're going to give some quid pro quo, and then we can move forward together.
This is a man who, as you say, clearly is evincing strength. Suggestions have been also offered that he's kind of positioned himself as the leader of the strongest tribe in these conversations. And as you say, I do worry a bit that what he's doing is sort of lowballing some of the sources of this terrorism, as he's described it, and jihadism more generally, in order to make this kind of modus vivendi with some of the folks who, as you say, have a shared interest with us in defeating Iran and trying to counter this scourge of the Islamic State and other manifestations of this toxic Sharia supremacism. That said, Claire, is it going to translate, do you think, into actual cooperation through this new counter-ideological center, the counter-terrorism financing center in Saudi Arabia, and more broadly, do you think?
Not in that sense, no. Again, that new counter-violent extremism center or whatever it is, it is not going to amount to much. I mean, obviously, the ideology remains the ideology, the doctrine of Islam in the place where it began, the Arabian Peninsula, is not going to change, and neither are the Saudi rulers. But they're in big trouble. They know it. And we have acknowledged through President Trump that we know they're in trouble. We put it on display and said, you guys either do a few things, not change the doctrine, they're not going to come all the way to stopping Dawah, building mosques and funding imams around the world, including the United States, anytime soon. But when Trump got through the opening niceties, the diplomatic platitudes of the beginning of the speech, and certainly we could hear the cut and paste of various of his advisors who we wish would be more knowledgeable about Islam and jihad and Sharia. When he finished with that, there was a real pivot point in the speech when he turned to demands of what he expects of them if we're going to be working with them in any way. And it was, I think, bolder than anything I've heard any U.S. president ever say. Get this stuff out of your mosques. That's essentially what he said. Drive it out. Now, does that mean that's going to stop the preaching of jihad and Sharia tomorrow? No, of course not. Not even close. But it does mean that they're going to have to buckle down and meet a few requirements off the top, okay? This is off the violent top of jihad, not all the way down yet to the pre-violent jihad or the dawah, but just beginning at the top.
Let me ask you quickly, Claire, just to talk a bit about what is going on in Israel at the moment. There seems to be a lot of buzz about some kind of breakthrough. I presume this means getting the Palestinians and the Israelis back to the negotiating table. Is that how you read it? And if they do get back there, given all the sort of realities in place at the moment, is there much chance that it will conduce to some kind of deal?
Oh, this seems to be the siren song for every U.S. president, and it's enticed this one too, it would seem. The siren song of making peace between Israelis and Arabs. You know, he's going to make a stab at it. There's going to be an effort made. The bottom line is that the Palestinians under whether it be Abu Mazen in the West Bank or the new leadership of Hamas in Gaza, they cannot tolerate the existence of the Jewish state of Israel. That's the bottom line.
Even though under present circumstances in which, as you've said so well and you've written so extensively on, the threat that is posed to all of them by Iran would seem to give them some basis for at least a tactical modus vivendi, this is unlikely to conduce to an enduring peace, I take it.
Well, I don't see that Iran is particularly a opponent of either Hamas or the PLO, Fatah, Palestinian Authority. In fact, it helps them. So the real alliance that we're seeing form now in the Middle East and with the U.S. on board now apparently too are the Sunni Islamic nations led by Saudi Arabia plus Israel and the United States now joining in. Iran and its proxies include Hamas and, to some extent, the PLO. That's on the other side of the equation.
Yeah, unlikely, therefore, to make peace with those characters, that's for sure, among other reasons. Claire Lopez, we have to leave it at that. Claire is, again, our Vice President at the Center for Security Policy for Research and Analysis, my co-author of See No Sharia, The Disarming of the First Lines of America's Defense. Thank you very much for your time today, Claire, your great work. Keep it up and come back to us soon. We'll talk about Seeing No Sharia, among other things, with Philip Haney, a man who's lived under the practice of willful blindness in the U.S. government. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.